Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Glenn Greenwich, and this is the Man of the Month, but we're actually doing a special show. We're calling it the Men of the Month, and I've got some special guests for us tonight. We've got Sharon Corley, and we've got Randy Fisher, both very active in the hip-hop arena. But before we get started, we always start the show off with the Declaration of International Black Summit, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some of the shows that are on so that you, if you're first time tuning in, you know what's happening with our network. Without any further ado, we'll have a little reggae in the background here. The Declaration of International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Today's date is September 27th, 2009. Above, below, east and west, north and south. We're going to have, bring to you a moment of silence. Thank you. Now, what we're going to be doing tonight, as I said, we've got two very, very special guests, and we're going to be bringing them on in just a second. And just want to let you know, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and this is Glenn Greenwich, your host for Man of the Month, but today we have a special show. It's actually Men of the Month. The first Sunday, we have On Track with Henrietta Bird out of Chicago, Illinois. On the 13th, we have, which is the second Sunday of the month, we have Let's Celebrate Shakaysha Shiles out of Compton, L.A. The third Sunday, we have Vision Works with Clara Lyons Devon out of Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And then the fourth Sunday, you have me, the host. We also have two other shows. The second and the fourth Tuesday of the month, we have the Wealth Club. That show starts at 6:30, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's the second and fourth. And that show is specifically about building wealth, financial intelligence, investments, and it's also an opportunity for people to let us know about their deals, their business services, and business opportunities that they may have that they want to let the community know. Now, without any further ado, let me bring you the two gentlemen, Sharon Corley and Randy Fisher. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. It's a pleasure to be
here. Yes, yes. Good to be here.
Thank you, thank you. So let's start out, let's give them a little bit of background, because not everybody may know all of who you are and what are some of your accomplishments. So Randy, why don't you start out and give us a little background of that Hip-Hop Summit Youth Council and your relationship with that and how it got started and like that.
I'm Randy Fisher. I'm the executive director of the National Hip Hop Summit Youth Council, affiliated with the Russell Simmons and Dr. Ben Chavis of the Hip Hop Summit Action Network. started the organization in 2001 after the big hip-hop summit where they were trying to find radio stations for playing Eminem's single. And that was basically the birth of the hip-hop summit. And we're a nonprofit organization that uses the positive influence of hip-hop to socially, politically, and empower politically and economically empower young people. We do numerous summits. We did a couple summits at City Hall against the Rockefeller drug laws, got those reformed, against the educational budget cuts in 2003 with Alicia Keys, Wyclef, LL, and P. Diddy, got the mayor to restore money back into the education budget. And now we're doing work with the United Nations. I got a big event coming up with the United Nations. We just did an event for the International Day of Peace against nuclear arms. Also working with a lot of elected officials on a project called Operation Snug. It's an anti-gun, anti-gang initiative. So hear about that through Malcolm Smith, Governor Patterson. And we just recently launched the Read to Succeed Through Hip-Hop project, Positive Hip-Hop Biographies, because we believe education is the key to power. So we have 50 different hip-hop biographies, all positive, selling in the Hugh Mann Bookstore and in local schools, and Rikers Island and the Department of Probation is using them. So we have a lot of things going on, economic empowerment program. It's too much, really, to get into. Got to go to the website.
Very good, very good. Well, thank you for that introduction. And Sharon Corley, give us a little of your background. Make sure you tell us a little bit about New Jersey Drives and the other things that you've been involved in.
Okay, well, sure. Thank you, Glenn Greenwich. And it's an honor to be a part of the International Black Summit radio show. East Model Entertainment is a non-for-profit organization that brings the community and its resources together for the purpose of empowering young people in our community. And I got involved with this line of work because it's something I always really wanted to do, was really give back, because I knew I was going to be involved in the entertainment industry, and I knew that I wanted to be make a contribution to my community at the same time. And so when I was fortunate enough to be casted as the lead role in New Jersey Drive, Universal Pictures, New Jersey Drive, which was executive produced by Spike Lee, what that did was put me in a sphere of influence in my community. And what I've noticed is that anytime I went in and I spoke with young people in schools or community centers, that sphere of influence was very effective. And so what I did was I formulated East Modern Entertainment so that I can go and do seminars and I can go create events that can foster the discussion with young folks regarding challenges that are faced daily by young folks in our community and advocating for the solutions thereof. And so I produce events like summits. We have the Unlocking the Power Within Youth Leadership Summit that we've done for the past few years, and the next one is going to be in May in 2010 at City College. And we're also producing a pilot series right now. It's called Saving Children's Lives. Which should have an anticipated release date nationally in the winter and fall. And so that's about four young women who risk life and limb to transform the lives of children in their community via Harlem. And there's a number of other programs. We're also working with Randy Fisher and Hip Hop Summit Youth Council and a number of churches in the Harlem community regarding a program called Let's Talk About It, to engage young people in dialogue regarding and surrounding spiritual values. And so it's called Let's Talk About It, What's in the Book. We do it every first and third Tuesday of the month at the Christian Parish for Spiritual Renewal Church in Harlem. And we just completed the Harlem Road Race. Every year we do a road race in Harlem, which brings the business community of Harlem and the community of Harlem together to raise awareness around education, mentoring, and health, and it provides scholarships as a result of racing. So we had a very successful Harlem Renaissance Road Race 2009 this last past Saturday. And so lots are going on with the East Modern Entertainment, and we have been proud to link up with organizations like the Hip Hop Summit Youth Council and HIIP, which is a conglomerate of organizations collectively that are youth-serving. So that's what East Modern Entertainment is all about, bringing the community and its resources together for the purpose of empowering young people in our community.
Excellent. Well, as our listeners can gather, you guys are up to a lot of great things. What would you say is your vision for youth and youth leadership? What is it that you're mostly focused on, or your main focus, would you say?
For me, it's really about helping young people tap into the potential that they already have. It's helping them tap into their opportunities that have been paid for them, blood, sweat, and tears that is available to them, and needs to be brought back into their radar for whatever reason is beyond their radar, but is within their radar. And our job is to get them excited and engaged, and actually to take advantage of the potential that they already have. One of the things that we emphasize is entrepreneurial opportunities for young folks, tapping into the thing that they like to do, turning that into a skill, and figuring out a way to turn that skill into a service to people, and then they're functioning as an entrepreneur, then tapping into finding a market for that product or service that God is giving them to have an exchange for their survival. So that's one thing that we really stress in entrepreneurship, of course, education, of course, volunteering, and just basically providing them with opportunity and programs that are going to enhance and develop their skill level for coming into this next century.
Excellent, excellent. Randy, what do you see as your biggest focus or your main focus around the Hip-Hop Youth Council?
It's a lot of things going on, but I guess the main focus right now is the literacy campaign, trying to educate people, whether it's through the financial literacy campaign that the Hip-Hop Economic Empowerment Program tied into the MasterCard program, where we give the debit cards to the members of the organization and teach them about credit scores and stuff like that, or the Read to Succeed program, which has the support of a lot of people from former Knicks, Allen Houston, the President Ward of Senegal. So that's really basically what we're trying to push right now, education. And now that school is back in, we got a lot of events coming up. We got a summit we're going to do with Ralph McDaniels in the Beacon Schools, tied in with DYCD, a city organization. So there's a lot of things going on with education right now, and that's what we're pushing for, even with the elected officials that we deal with.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful, excellent. I from talking with you and working with you on a couple of the road race and some of the other projects you're working on, it's clear to me that education and economic development and empowerment is certainly one of your focuses. What would you say is an area that is your biggest opportunity for youth development? I know that youth development necessarily hasn't really been in the forefront of all of our community. What do you see as your biggest opportunities?
Go ahead, Randy.
I think the biggest opportunities for youth development is a mentorship program, which is sort of what we do as an advocacy group. We work with a lot of different organizations like the NAACP and things of that nature. So when you have a bunch of people together that are working for young people towards helping them out, and you can partner them either through internships or either through mentorship with adults that are going down the right path, then that sort of gives them more direction. Because, you know, you got to face it that it's not really two-parent households anymore. A lot of parents are working, and the kids are being raised by the Internet and by Xbox and PlayStation 3, and the Internet is a killer. So you got to just take that into consideration when you talk about it takes an entire village to raise a child. If you yourself and your community is not stepping up, either through your church or through your elected official or through organizations like the Hip Hop Summit to help give back, then you really setting yourself up, you know, to go down the alley and be scared when a kid is just walking with a hoodie on because you're just out of touch. So I think the mentorship, getting the older people to connect with the younger people, understanding the younger people's ideals, and then putting the young people that are serious about improving themselves in positions of power, that goes a long way.
Absolutely, absolutely. How would you answer that question, Ron?
Well, he touched on a very, very, very important point in terms of it taking a village to raise a child. We really have to get back to that philosophy because we all have an invested interest in the development of young people, our young people. Every person that's walking this planet Earth has an invested interest and a responsibility and accountability to provide some sort of opportunity and development opportunity for at least one young person in their community, their family, be it their family or, you know, in their community. And so for me, what's important as far as being effective with young folks is having carrots, having something in your hand that can identify with them, because most cases than not, when dealing and relating to young people, what they want to know is what is in this for me. And so what we have figured out is how to be effective is to have young people help us help them. And the way to do that is to have to help them or to learn and to tap into what it is that they really like to do. What is the motivational factor for them? What gets them to tick? A young person, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, can identify what they like to do. Even if it's playing a video game or jumping up and down, they can identify what they like to do. Our job is to figure out what that is, identify what that is, and use that as a tool to motivate them to get involved in the things that can develop them and to nurture them. If they like basketball, then, you know, we may have tickets to the Knicks game or a great basketball game that we get them involved through a program that is going to help them. Or if they like music, we may have, for example, the Hip Hop Summit Youth Council has a record label and a distribution opportunity for them to get them as a carrot to get them involved in financial literacy or a mentoring program that can help develop them. So we have to worry and focus on having the carrots that will tap into and be used as a tool to get young people motivated to help themselves. So those carrots help us help young people help themselves.
Excellent, excellent. What would you say is the, you know, you talked about the church and you talked about elected officials as being an area that that you've certainly been focused on, and those are areas that are probably the biggest opportunities in terms of impact in our community. Would you say that that's accurate?
I mean, yeah, they're definitely effective, but you can't really look at elected officials as the savior for the community. They are elected. They are politicians. They are elected by the people, but the people still have the power.
Right.
And you know, the power is always with the people. Barack Obama has recently just proven it. Right. So, you know, even when I go to schools, like I just got on the advisory committee for my alma mater, August Martin High School, and they had the PTA lady there, and she's, you know, of course, like every PTA lady complaining about parent participation. They don't come to meetings. Mm-hmm. They don't want to check in on their kids. So I hear stories like that, and it's like, man, how come parents don't even want to know what their kids are doing in school? So the people got to always remember that the power lies within them. If the elected official is not doing what you think he should be doing for your community, then get a group of people that's like-minded like you and storm his office or write letters constantly. So the power is always within the people. That's one thing we believe in. And with us, the power is with the young people specifically. And that's why we give them such responsibility at a young age, because you got to, like, believe in them, push them forward.
Right, and we have to empower them. We have to get behind their good ideas, their great ideas, because young people have great ideas just as well as most of us adults. And, the politicians are great, and they play their role, and they're there to protect us in the political sphere. But as far as the village itself, you know, regular folks, like Michael Jackson said, it takes a man in the man in the mirror. Each of us have to take responsibility and accountability for our responsibility towards young people, each and every one of us. So we all have to be creative about finding ways to relate to and to provide an opportunity or a way out, or however you want to identify that. As far as young people are concerned, we all have to pitch in. You know, this is not something that the teachers are going to do or the parents are going to do. You know, our culture is broken, you know, and it's not, you know, all of us have to take responsibility for our part in failing young people right now. That's the churches, that's the school, that's the community, that's the household, the parents. You know, sometimes it's by choice, but sometimes it's by necessity. You know, we're living in an economic climate where two household parents have to work, and sometimes often twice, two jobs. So that leaves time, valuable time away from the child during very, very important hours of the day. And so that neglect sometimes is not by choice, but by necessity. And then there is the choice factor. There is people that are making the wrong choices as it relates to their children and the environment around the children, or even taking action, or even just being involved in the PTAs and that sort of stuff. So we all have to take responsibility for our role in failing young people, and first to acknowledge our participation in that failure in order to turn it around, change our mindset, change our actions, and make a conscious effort, even no matter how small the effort is, to make a contribution in the lives of at least one child in your community.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, one of the things, and of course, you know, you're not the spokespeople of this movement, but one of the things that I know is that there's a lot of violence in video games. There is some talk in gangster rap. What if anything do you think can be done to empower the non-negativity that's associated with those that kind of those kinds of settings?
It's about being able to discern and decipher the difference between entertainment and reality. And, you know, the bottom line
Absolutely.
Is, you know, that's entertainment. You know, it's entertainment. And one of the things that we do is we try to create a platform for accountability. We're doing the Unlocking the Power Within Youth Leadership Summits. We want to have hip-hop artists and other figures in the community that may be associated with quote-unquote gangster rap or quote-unquote negative imaging, and have them sit right in front of these audience of community folks and young people and be held accountable via questions, open question sessions with the community about the content of their work and the substance of their work and what that means. So if you're a rapper and you're communicating about, you know, making a lot of money and having a lot of material wealth and a lot of material things, then what is the purpose of that? You know, is it the purpose to have young people emulate that, or is it to tell a story to express what you've had to overcome to get to a place where you're more comfortable in life? And as a lesson learned, not to be repeated or followed, but in terms of a lesson to be learned in terms of how to make better choices to achieve your goals and objectives. So that accountability will go a long way in terms of artists really, you know, thinking about the material that they produce for the market, you know, because at the end of the day, it has to be a service that they're providing to people as a business. If you're an artist, you know, you're providing a service. So if your music doesn't have any kind of substantial value, then the audience, the community, can then make a choice as to whether or not they want to purchase your material. So that platform is a platform for artists to be held accountable and to take responsibility for the images and that they are distributing to the community.
Yeah, that's very good, because one of the things that on whatever level that we are, we're all role models every time we walk outside our door.
Exactly. If you're in the limelight, large or small, be it positive or negative, you become a public figure. I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer was a public figure, you know, and there is a sphere of influence with that level of limelight. There's a responsibility. So people are looking at you, and young people or impressionable folks are going to emulate that because you are in a sphere of influence. So be it positive or negative, you do become a public figure. It's what you do with that position of influence that matters, and that is important.
Yeah, one of the things I must commend you guys for the Reach to Success program. Most of the performers that you have write-ups about that are you're offering their story are, you know, from what I can tell, seem to be pretty positive in terms of their imagery and of their work. And so, you know, it speaks to the accountability and the responsibility
in the music industry. Yes, it offers the Read to Succeed program, sponsored by and created by the Hip Hop Summit Youth Council. What it does is it offers a positive, comprehensive read for young folks about the chronology of success, the timeline of success of their favorite artists. I mean, these artists span from 50 Cent to Eminem to Ciara to Alicia Keys to Jay-Z. And young people can comprehend this material, and it's a positive read. There's nothing negative about this read, but the success, the trials, the overcoming obstacles, and the things that were necessary to achieve success by these artists, it's a comprehensive read to a young person about their favorite artists. But it also introduces them to programs that may be able to increase their comprehension so that they pick up anything after that, they can read it. Not only that, but it introduces them to, for example, the Millennium Development Goals, which are our leaders have made commitments to the international community to achieve certain goals by 2015. That's called the Millennium Development Goals. The first two out of the eight, first number one is to achieve to eradicate poverty, and number two of the eight is to achieve universal primary education. Now, if our leaders are making that kind of commitment to the international community on our behalf, then it's our job as the village to hold them accountable to the commitments that they've made, especially if it's to benefit us. And so what that does for young people is it introduces them to, you know, to the philosophy that things are bigger than your block. It's bigger than your street. It's bigger than your hood, your community, your city, you know what I'm saying, our country even. We're living in a global community here. So, you know, these books through the Read to Succeed program does more than just provide a comprehensive, positive read on the chronology of success of your favorite artist, but it introduces you to the program. It introduces you to a bigger scope of what's going on in the world, and it engages you and gets you involved on these levels. And so it's a great program, and I've been blessed to be a part of it and to help advocate for it and to promote it. You know, they've done a great job at aligning themselves with barbershops and salons in the communities and having them come aboard and sponsor a child through the Reach to Succeed program. So, I mean, it's really great, it's really effective, and it's a great program, the Reach to Succeed program.
And we've even been going around with the camera with the Hip Hop Hood Report. That's my new TV show, comes on public access. So the Hip Hop Hood Report has actually been interviewing different barbershops and beauty salons. We just did a big launch at a beauty salon that one of my students, his mother opened up over in Woodhaven, and she's actually going to be giving like $1 a day towards the cause, just because she loves the fact that her son is involved in something outside of school and so passionate, because he was never in the sports or video games or anything, and he's jumping into this 2 feet forward. He's like a shy kid. So that's like one of the benefits of the program and things of that nature. So Read to Succeed is doing a lot of good things. And we got a lot of other programs out there doing some good things too. Project Rebound's about to relaunch with the NBA. So
yes, sir.
Got a lot of things we're doing out here.
Yes, sir. The Guns, the Snugs program, is an anti-violence program the Hip Hop Summit Youth Council have put together to detract youth and gun violence in our community. It's a lot of programs are going on sponsored by the Hip Hop Summit Youth Council. And so, you know, we're excited about all these programs, and this is what our passion is. This is what we are here to do, is to provide an opportunity and empowerment for young people.
Yeah, I was reading Operation Snug, and it was interesting to have it was actually gun spelled backwards.
Right.
I thought that was really cool way of approaching it, so that people can really get the gist of what's going on.
Right.
I actually want to go on record that I'm going to do what I can around the International Black Youth Summit to support the growth of the MDGs, the Millennium Development Goals, and also the Hip Hop Against Poverty Project.
Right.
We haven't talked too much about that, but that's also hooked into the to the UN goals as well.
Right. That's a, I wasn't trying to take up too much time. I could take up a whole hour long show. But the Hip Hop Against Poverty Project is so important. It's ridiculous.
Yes,
I've been working with the United Nations for the past 5 years, and I'm one of the few organizations in general, whether you're governmental, whether you're non-governmental, whether you're a regular Fortune 500, I'm one of the few that have joint ventures and MOUs with certain NGOs, which are non-governmental organizations that are down with the United Nations. So, I mean, in 2007, we had Master P, Stand Up Against Poverty, Little Romeo. In 2008, we had Usher, and we just started taking things. We went ballistic last year at Summer Jam. With our head of our global affairs, we got, you know, Boot Camp Click and Busta Rhymes, Method Man, Flavor Flav, when he had his show popping, all of these people that don't even, they've never even been to the United Nations. And we all grew up in New York City.
Right.
And the building is right there on 44th Street and First Avenue, and you would never believe how many people have never stepped foot inside the United Nations. So we just made it a mission to just bring awareness to the United Nations, the MDGs in general. We put it in the books. We do different projects regarding it. We got Ralph McDaniels involved. So that's just been that Hip Hop Against Poverty Project, man. It's going to be great. And we're going to get it done by 2015, because that's the goal right there.
And so the purpose is for everyone in the different cities, in the different states, in the different, you know, around the globe to, you know, literally stand up oppose poverty all over the country. And so Randy Fish and the Hip Hop Summit Youth Council have been breaking records with the amount of people who have participated in the Hip Hop Against Poverty movement. It's just incredible.
Now, there's a couple of things that I'm going to actually do with you, because certainly we've got some young people that are situated in Kenya, in South Africa, in Senegal, and I'm sure that they've got contacts in other countries in Africa. So I definitely want to put you in touch with them so that they can do the things to further the progress. The other thing I want to mention is that there's have you heard of the Hunger Project? That's something I was associated with Landmark Education, one of the groups that I've been associated with. And I would think that they would love to hook up or be able to partner up and expand in the conversation, because they've been in the conversation of ending hunger for quite some time. Now, I'm not sure if they're hooked up with the UN or not, but that's certainly another advocate that could help get the word out. And they're, as far as I understand, they're all over the world.
Well, that's the thing about us. The great thing about our standpoint and our approach towards our mission is how important we understand community is, and coalition, and the collective is, and the power of unity. We understand that. And so we are here to foster relationships with organizations who meet the same need, have the same objective, and the same goals. And so, yeah, I welcome the opportunity to work with these organizations and these young people who are making a difference toward change and evolution and expansion as it relates to our culture and progress in our community. Absolutely.
Very good, very good. We've talked a lot about some of the things that you're working on. What areas are you looking for help? So for the listeners who are out there, and I've got a couple people with their hands up, but what kinds of things do you need? Do you need monies for sponsorship? What kind of, you need volunteers? Tell us, give us an idea of what are your direct needs to keep the good work that you're doing moving forward.
Well, I'll touch on it first, Randy. Well, you mentioned the two primary things. We are a nonprofit organization, so yeah, we need folks who are like-minded and who identify and understand the importance of the work that we're doing to make a contribution in any way, shape, or form as it relates to helping us in the area of development and empowerment for at least one person. Any individual that's listening or individual that we've come in contact with, we communicate this. If you have the resources to at least be a benefit to the development of at least one person, then we could use your help. So we'll take a financial contribution because we are not-for-profit organizations, but we also take volunteers. We'll also take, if you have the ability to donate a pack of paper, that's a blessing. You know what I'm saying? So we welcome the opportunity for folks to come and be a blessing in any way, shape, or form. My philosophy is that God is going to bless me and my organization by being a blessing. So as long as we're being a blessing and we can help those people who really need help, whoever we're able to help, that's how we're going to be blessed. And so whoever is in a position to be a blessing to what the development and empowerment of young people and find themselves in a position to do that as it relates to the East Martin Entertainment Organization or the Hip Hop Summit Youth Council or even the HIIP Higher Intelligence, Inspiring Progress Collective that we all are associated with, we welcome that opportunity and it will be a blessing.
Yeah, definitely. Sponsorship is always great, especially in every session. I'm actually doing two big things. I got the international concert series we're doing, starting in Haiti, going to the other 16 Caribbean countries. I just met with the president of the Dominican Republic. I think I emailed you that press release, Glenn.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, so the Starfest movement is very, very big. My man DJ from Haiti, he just came up. He's down in Miami with the club. We got Rick Ross, Plies, the whole Slip and Slide movement. We're going to get Atlantic Records involved. So we're going to do Haiti in December, and then we're going to do Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Trinidad, whole bunch of different Caribbean countries, all about poverty. Some of these countries don't even have running water. So this is definitely tied into the United Nations, and we're currently looking for sponsors for Starfest. And then we got Fesmin. You spoke about Ghana. You know, Fesmin is going to be in Dakar, Senegal in 2010. We postponed it 1 year to tie with the World Cup. And, you know, ACON is down with that. We had to launch at the United Nations this past January. And that's the World Festival of Black Arts featuring poets and different artists and sculptors from all around the world. So we could get the information out about those two initiatives. Then we're going to be at the New York Book Fair at the Queens Museum, right by the Globe in Flushing Meadow Park. They're gonna give us a little presentation for Read to Succeed this Saturday coming up. So I don't know when this is going to air, but this Saturday, October 3rd, Read to Succeed is going to be at the New York Book Fair Expo, Flushing Meadow Park, Queens Museum of Art. It's going to be big. That's a nice place. And, you know, we're just going to keep doing what it do.
Okay, let me just throw this out there really quickly because this is all about entertainment that makes a statement and a difference. So I mentioned earlier that we're producing a series pilot that will be released naturally. We're talking to three different networks. And so we are the feature film presentation during the Tommy Film Festival in Dallas, Texas in February during the playoffs. And it's called Saving Children's Lives. And again, it's about four young women who risk life and limb to transform the lives of young people in their community vis-a-vis Harlem. And we have a four-hour slot in the Tommy Film Festival in February. It's a red carpet affair, different networks and lots of media associated with this film festival. And we're looking for sponsorship for our four-hour slot as a feature presentation for the Tommy Film Festival during the playoffs in February. So we're looking for sponsorship for that because this episode, this pilot episode is to be more than just a film project, but it's an advocating tool to raise awareness and to create dialogue around issues that are troubling and pressing and that faces the demise and obstacles for young people. So we need sponsorship for that as well. And like we're communicating, there are a number of programs that we are associated with and producing ourselves, but we're also advocating for all of the organizations that are in coalition with us and our movement. So it's much to be involved with. It's much to get involved with if you're looking in terms of being a volunteer. It's much to be make a contribution to if you're looking at it in terms of a sponsor. So it's much going on. It's much. Our hands are very deep and vast in the community and the work that we're doing. So, yes, we look for sponsors.
You know what? But before I forget, let's give out your contact information, your websites, and whatever emails,
mm-hmm.
And I'm going to look to see who's going to come on. So,
okay, Randy, I'll go first because I know Randy has the extensive thing about our website. We're moving a domain right now, so our website is not up yet, but you can contact East Modular Entertainment that makes a statement and a difference through our email address right now. It's EME, that's Eric Mark Eric, EMEisnow@gmail.com. That's EMEisnow@gmail.com. You can contact us, send us information, and we'll get back to you at our earliest convenience.
And and you said you have a website or no?
We do have a website, but we just switched domains, so I couldn't even give you the website. Yeah.
So the email is the best way to get a hold of you.
Email is the best way to get a hold of us, yes.
Okay, great. And Randy?
The email address is randyf@hhsyc.org. It stands for Hip Hop Summit Youth Council. You can email us. What else we've got? The website, hhsyc.org, ties into the Hip Hop Summit Action Network. Phone number 212-316-7639. But, you know, I think the email and the website is the best way to contact us also.
Very good, very good. Hold on a second. Let's...
Oh, yes, and we're also looking forward to the International Black Youth Summit. We're also looking to get involved with that with you, Glenn, in the International Black Summit.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listener 347-325, go ahead, please. You're on the air.
How you doing, Brother Glenn? This is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
All right. Your brothers, I commend the fine work that you're doing, and you keep it up because we definitely need your brothers to enhance the information in the community. I want to ask you a very quick question, and then I get off the phone. And also, Glenn, you can go ahead and ask you if you want. I want to know, is anybody trying to enhance Afro-American history, you know, for 365 mm-hmm. days a year?
Mm-hmm.
Because I find out I talked to a lot of kids lately, and, you know, they said the only time they hear it is really, like, in February. Mm-hmm. And they said there's no teachers, no communities ain't getting involved, really. There's some parents has gone into that. There's nothing. There's nobody has not talked about it. And I want you. I just want to get your input on it. And your brother, keep up the good work. You have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Well, thank you, brother, for the question. And you're absolutely right. You know, history is a wealthy place that we have accessible to us to tap into at our disposal at any time, and it's for us to take advantage of it. And it's not being taken advantage of as much as it can be and should be. You know, however, and there are so many things that are available to us that is in our radar that, you know, because of so much of the distractions in our culture and in our time, that for whatever reason, young people are not taking advantage of it or delving into it, particularly history. So what we're doing right now is we're just trying to align ourselves with organizations that are youth-serving, that understand the importance of that, and to advocate for these programs that are actually working, that are actually tangible in the community, and bring it within the radar of the young folks in our community. So right now, we're basically holding our ears and eyes open for the organizations that are subscribing to history and teaching and advocating for history and our daily development stages and our development programs as it relates to young people, so that we can go out and advocate for it.
Thank you. Thank you for that question, Jerry. I wanted to could you elaborate a little bit more on the hip hop hood report and the network? Now, what kinds of things and programs do you have on that network?
Oh man, the Hip Hop Hood Report. I just got the press release on my desk because the show's been airing for a month and we haven't done no advertising or promoting, and QPTV is getting a lot of phone calls. So I'm actually taking it off the air for October so I can keep filming and revamping the program, and then we're going to relaunch in November. Probably going to be in Harlem too, but it's basically the Hip Hop Summer Youth Council with a camera. All of the things we do is putting it on camera, because when I go around and I speak to people, they don't believe it. So it's just, all right, you don't believe it? Here's a camera. Now you see it on TV. People didn't believe I was going to put out an anti-drug documentary about some Queens kingpins. I did it, King of Kings. Now people didn't believe I was going to put out positive hip-hop books. So we put out the books. We said we got to put this on camera because the kids love it. We had the kids selling the books as a fundraiser. Put that on camera, went up to a couple of barbershops, got a lot of barbershops, including Denny Mose and Levels and a couple of other people to actually start selling the books out of their barbershops. Mm-hmm. We did another episode at the Seth Lowe Housing Projects Family Day with the Boot Camp Click. Got a lot of people to vote for the primary out there in Brooklyn.
Got some at the Harlem Book Fair. And
right.
We said African Day Parade. Mm-hmm.
We did the African American Day Parade. We marched with Yasky, had Londell McMillan, Michael Jackson's lawyer, there with us. Mm-hmm. Did a couple episodes in Far Rockaway. And it's basically just us going around with the camera at our different events and showing, you know, what we do. Sharon Corley's one of the co-hosts. And just recently, my man Jerry Kalanje just launched a different segment in the show called the Faces of the Innocent Victims, where we go and we talk to mothers of kids that were gunned down to gun violence or police brutality. The one lady whose daughter in Cambria Heights was found half naked, bloody. They thought the father did it. We just interviewed her yesterday. So that's all going to be airing in November. And we're going to be tying elected officials and other people in. We're going to be having different young people that are down with the program act as co-hosts. Because it's not about me being in front of the camera. It's about empowering the young people. And we're trying to get it in all five of the boroughs right now.
Excellent. Oh, that's great. So really, it's a work in progress, and it's a way of documenting what you're doing, and it's a way of also employing and getting young people interested in the aspects of media and actually giving them some experience doing media.
Exactly.
Exactly, and it's also showing young people that there's brothers out there that care about them, and that's, you know, outside of the church, outside of the school, outside of their household, that they could get with us if they had different ideas on how to improve the world and make the world better for everything, for everybody else. So,
and it's another example of how hip-hop can be very, very positive and productive in our community.
Excellent, yeah. Yeah, you know, the thing that keeps resonating that's so impactful, the International Black Summer, we do a lot of work with accountability, responsibility, and ownership. And we actually, you know, those are some of our primary distinctions that we use to work with the youth and the adults, by the way. You know,
mm-hmm.
the interesting thing about the International Black Summit is that we've developed a parallel conversation to engage people in empowering themselves. And, you know, what you guys are up to are resonating some of those basic principles that are basic and rudimental, fundamental for empowerment.
Right.
So, you know, the thing that I want to, we've got about 10 minutes left. I see another question out there. But I just want to commend the work that you guys are doing collectively and separately to really be responsible for impacting your community. You know, one
Glenn,
of
let
the
me, Glenn, let me just before you take the next question, just get this out very quickly.
Sure.
We also are available to come into the programs, different programs, and do seminars. I mean, we have one seminar, you know, in terms of in the community, urban community, called Hustle 101, because young people identify what that word means, but most often it's associated with a negative a connotation, hustle. So what we do is, I spoke earlier about how we help them tap into the idea, the philosophy of becoming an entrepreneur in our community, and the value of volunteering. You know, what we do is we say, tap into the thing you like to do, turn it into a skill. How? By turning it into a hobby. If you like to do it, you're going to do it. Repetition is the mother of skill. Practice makes perfect. So you apply yourself as a hobby into something that you like to do. It'll automatically turn into a skill. You figure out a way how to turn that skill into a service to people, because every business, what we all have in common is we're providing a service to each other, to people. And then figure out then how to find a market for it. And finding a market for your service or product is where the hustle come in. And so this is how we change the negative connotation to the word hustle to the positive. And so that's a great a seminar. It goes over great and effective with young folks in the community. So we also come out and do these seminars for different organizations and communities. And so we have that available, too, if you are listening and you would like the Hip Hop Summit Youth Council or East Martin Entertainment or HIIP to come into your community or your school and speak with your young people and engage them into a dialogue around entrepreneurship, development, and empowerment. We would love to come out. So you just contact us at the contact information, and we will be blessed to oblige.
Very good, very good, very good. I think this looks like Jerry again. Hold on a second. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hello?
Jerry,
Hello?
Do you have another question?
Oh yeah. I want to make another comment. I don't know how to say it.
Just say it, baby.
All right. Okay. How do I go about to encourage more young people? I'm doing my part. I'm doing my best and everything. It's just that, you know, around where I live at, it's just like everybody's off to themselves,
mm-hmm.
basically, especially the older people. You know, I find a lot of older people, they do not want to. They interact with the young people. They always have some negativity and stuff like that. So what the young people is always seeing, to me, it's like a generation gap.
You're right.
They don't want to understand what they talk about. As for me, I talk to them. I said,
well, Jerry, because I know we're short on time, just based on what you're saying here, I think the most important thing that you can do right now is to lead by example. You know, if you really have a passion to empower young people and to be to subscribe to mentoring a young person or young people in your community, the best thing that you can do is lead by example. Whatever it is you're trying to communicate, be an example of it yourself. And most often than not, that's the most effective way that you can really get a point across to a young person. They believe
mm-hmm.
what they see.
Yeah, okay.
They subscribe to what they can see. If it's tangible, they can relate to it.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually talked a little bit about that. Every time you step out your house, you're a role model. Whether you accept it, whether you want to be it, whether you don't want to be it, you're being watched. And and how you interact with people,
mm-hmm.
you know, be it the person on the grocery store, or your politician, or whomever, all of that is being watched. And I think that the thing that is not that we forget are the things. Young people are very impressionable, and they see things and they remember things, and they will act on those things based on the people that they know around them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, you literally have to be careful what it is that you're doing and what you're emulating, because you know, one of the things that I felt very fortunate in is that I had very positive, strong black men around me coming up. And
mm-hmm.
so I was very clear that I wanted to be a businessman. And, you know, so I looked at that as the thing that I wanted to do, and I emulated and I went after. You know, we've got lots of different role models out there, and there's something that's absolutely great about this whole entrepreneurial conversation, because the true power to economics is not working for somebody else, but working
ownership
for yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, because that's the thing that's going to make the biggest difference in terms of our community.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things that always surprised me is that the Jewish community, somebody makes a dollar in the Jewish community, that dollar circulates 11 times before it leaves the community.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so what that means is that there are 11 businesses in that community getting the benefit of that. So, so the power of entrepreneurship is really that power, being able to spend black dollars in black community and having it circulate at least a couple times before it leaves the community, so that we're getting the benefit of it.
Yes, sir.
It's very important. We've got about 4 minutes left. So, gentlemen, what anything in wrapping up that you'd like to leave us with, or you'd like to say as a closing statement, and then please give us your contact information again as well.
Okay, go ahead, Randy.
Well, basically, focusing a lot on the nonprofit the last couple of years, but we do have the record company, we do have the film company, we will be doing some releases with the young people from our program. I just got linked up with a gentleman who got a studio and a little lounge area, so I'm going to be doing artist showcases and studio tapings out in Richmond Hill. Plus, we don't like the way the industry has just gone down the tube right now, and artists under a lot of pressure from A&Rs and record label heads have not made socially conscious or music that could help build the situation instead of hurting the situation in probably the last 10 years. And, you know, we don't really want to blame anybody, but we said here we're going to launch something that's going to be so powerful that everybody's going to have to just regulate themselves, like the video game industry. So we got something we're doing with the controller called the MAC, the Media Marketing Accountability Council, and it's a very scary concept because basically we're saying that BET and MTV shouldn't be playing songs with videos with half-naked girls in it, you know, at 3 p.m, and you shouldn't be, you know, Hot 97 radio shouldn't be playing rap songs degrading women and cursing and using the B word at 5 p.m. We're basically saying that stuff should be almost X-rated and adult material, and that would basically put a lot of these rap songs out right now under that category that they would have to be played after, you know, after a certain hour. And it's a self-policing method because we feel like the hip-hop game has sort of spun out of control, it's lost its way, it needs to go back to its roots, and it may sound corny, but this is where the men step up. You know, you can either look at the situation and say, that's whack how that is. When I was growing up, it was brand Nubians and this, that, and the third, or you could get out and be proactive.
Right,
and
right,
we
right.
were never the type of people to sit around, me and my father, Charles Fisher, former manager, LL Cool J, and the Lost Boys. So we just decided, let's launch this. Didn't launch it a couple of years ago, didn't have the right backing from the controller's office. Now we have that, so it's time to go. So the
let me just say this really quickly. As far as you know, those who are still watching who want to be involved, we are here for young people. So we also come in into these seminars and engage young people in a dialogue regarding, you know, spiritual values, because we have lost the core of spiritual values as the epitome of the choices that we need to make that governs our lives. So we do discussions regarding achieving success while remaining in the will of God. A very, very important conversation that needs to happen within our community. So we cannot lose the fact and our faith and the acknowledgement of our faith in our lives and where it has gotten us and brought us and where it will take us. So we have to keep God in our conversation.
Very good, very good. Gentlemen, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. This is Men of the Month, and this is Glenn Grunier bringing to you live Sharon Corley and Mr. Randy Fisher. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to bid you a good night and safe passage. And what I'd like to steal from Frankie Crocker, may you live to be 100 and me 100 minus a day, so I never know that good people like you have passed away. Peace and blessings. This is Glenn Greenwich. Good night. Love you. Peace.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, all right.